And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some
I don't call it the off-season. I call it the non-playing season.
Is that what you say when people, you know, normies ask you about what you do in the off-season? You say it's the not the off-season, it's the non-playing season?
I don't correct them, but I'll call it the non-playing season.
Okay.
I'll feel like there's the playing season.
The NPO.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. West Coast time here in Phoenix, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman here on a day when we have talked to Nick Sirianni like 14 hours ago. And then we just talked to Jeffrey Lurie. This is the live podcast that everybody has been agitating for. We finally have a live audience. We have Dave Zangaro and Jory Epstein here in this room just working away, but obviously listening to what we've got to say. And Zach?
The biggest collection of talent here since Bo sat here alone.
You just can't help yourself.
That's a time.
You know, I'm trying to start here. I'm trying to be football focused. I'm trying to be tight. Mm-hmm. And you got to get us off course.
You're right.
What's the next thing? You're going to throw in a mistress joke? You're going to ask me about my health insurance? What do we got?
Let's get into it. What were you asking?
I don't know what I was going to ask. I think we can close the show now. Zach, we literally talked to Nick Sirianni 12 hours ago. It's been a long day, mm-hmm. but it's been a good day. Let's start with Jeffrey Lurie, because we only get to talk to Jeffrey Lurie so often. Nick Sirianni said some things that, you know, who cares what he says about Cam Jurgens? He's going to be the right guard, whether he says he's the leader in the clubhouse or not. Okay. What were the main takeaways to you from what Jeffrey Lurie said when he met with us about an hour ago?
Well, so there were big picture takeaways and then specific ones.
Kelly Green.
Yeah, well, that's the news. Although he announced that last year, but
They followed through.
They're going to wear it. He doesn't have the date yet, but they will be in Kelly Green. So the long.
Is it Kelly Green or Green Kelly?
It's Kelly Green.
Okay.
I think big picture, and I imagine anyone watching this is probably an Eagles fan. And this is.
Listening, presumably, as well.
Listening as well, correct.
The Eagles are digesting.
The Eagles are in a really good place right now. I think you can just tell by where this organization is, the level of questions that they're being asked. Like, you can always tell, like, what's the panic level? And perhaps it's a good thing that or
Marty Morningwig might say it's a little bit cyclic.
Yeah, like perhaps you want to be on edge a bit, right? Like if the big news is his Reed Blankenship, your starting safety, like that, you know. But no, point being, when in listening to Jeffrey Lurie tonight, I think they're in a good spot in the front office. You know, they have, I think they have a good system in place there. Just looking around these rooms, that there's so many former coaches with Eagles ties. I think they have a decent system there. The big challenge,
not like physical ties, that they're not wearing Eagles ties, neckties, but.
The big challenge is going to be sustaining this is sustaining the success, because, you know, success comes with a price. And you see that with the amount of defections. You asked a really good question to Jeffrey tonight about like the next wave of front office hires. And Jeffrey said Howie Roseman gave a presentation today about like all that goes into, you know, working in a front office. It's not just go scout this player. It's learning different departments. By the way,
I don't expect that Howie Roseman's giving away any secrets in those. I mean, they want to keep what advantages they have, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very funny, because I asked Jeffrey Lurie about, you know, they lost a bunch of people to assistant GM jobs last year. They elevated some people. They brought some people in. And he's like, you know, he's saying, I think we've got a few future GMs in the building. But the one person he named by name as someone who he thinks is going to be a GM soon is Andrew Berry's brother, who has been on the job for like a week.
No, he hasn't been on the job yet. He joins after the draft.
Right. And he's like, this guy's already going to be a future GM. Like, what about, how would you feel if you were like, I don't know, Alec Hallaby or John Ferrari or something like that, who's already an assistant GM, and he's not calling them out by, although he did actually mention Ferrari earlier in the day, earlier in the press conference. It's just kind of funny that, like, that's the one guy he's like, oh, well, this guy, I mean, he looks like Andrew Berry, so.
No, I mean, he mentioned, look, if you're getting someone from his job on Wall Street to come work for you, there's probably a degree of talent there that you know, and that goes into it, but
we also don't need to deify finance bros.
I suppose in Jeffrey's defense, and Jeffrey, he doesn't need me defending him here, but he said back in 2020 that they have like a GM factory or something along those lines. It actually turned out to be like a pretty astute observation, because they had all guys hired, you know, future GMs in the building
and
guys,
women.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that. No, but as far as specifics, look, everything always starts with the quarterback. And there was a lot of Jalen Hurts discussion. He called Jalen Hurts the most mature 24-year-old he's ever met in his life.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Aside from you, maybe.
I was a fairly mature 24-year-old.
I don't doubt that.
But no, Jalen, I didn't listen to Anita Baker. So I don't know if that qualifies you as being mature, listening to Anita Baker.
I think just to some degree it makes me an old soul, as he says. Yeah.
No, I think
you referenced earlier today going to Mike Garofalo's wedding as the first wedding of your adult life, and I asked if your adult life began at 9. But.
Yeah, that was a good line. Yeah. So with Jalen Hurts, we said this last night, they are making no bones about the fact that they're prepared to give him a contract extension. Jeffrey Lurie was talking about this, what's next, and how every quarterback contract's different. It was a different situation with Donovan, different situation with Carson Wentz. And now they have utter conviction in Jalen Hurts, the person, Jalen Hurts, the player. He even put Jalen Hurts in that category of the elite quarterbacks in the league. And I think that's interesting for, you know, part of coming here every year is like you chronicle the evolution of the comments. And
that's exactly right.
Yeah. And that, like, last year there were so few franchise
quarterbacks. We don't know what, exactly. He wouldn't deny that they were interested in Deshaun Watson to some degree. Yep. Like, it is really funny to think that was just 12 months ago.
Exactly. And he mentioned like Mahomes and Josh Allen specifically last year, right? And then here you're in the situation where he puts Jalen in that category with those guys.
And fairly so.
Fairly so. Yeah. And so it really shows you that. And then I suppose another takeaway, and I'm just kind of, this is a stream of consciousness here, but man, that Super Bowl loss really is sticking with him. He kept mentioning minute 43. And
the flag is, I think he's referring to the flag.
Yes.
He's not. That, like, he's not saying it specifically, but that's what he's saying.
Had they gotten the call back? Yeah.
I actually think the most interesting thing he said in terms of like telling us what is coming here was something he said at the very end. And it proved to me that what we already suspected, that Jeffrey is a listener. He confirmed that when he talked about, he was asked about the Super Bowl defense. And he said, when you get to the elite level of quarterback play, defense doesn't matter. That's why we're always going to put our resources in offense. And so I think if you are, if you're like putting together a mock draft and you think the Eagles are going to use their first three picks in the first two rounds all on defense, you got another thing coming.
This is interesting.
We've talked about the Eagles' path to Super Bowl relevance is maintaining an elite offense. And I think Jeffrey knows that. Everything we have ever seen him do and invest in tells us that. I think that is what's coming down the pike.
That's a good point. Now, as far as,
and we thank him for listening.
Yeah, he's also a reader. He referenced, and I don't say this in jest. I really do think it was nice of Jeffrey to mention all the people behind the scenes that contribute to success. He had a quote that he said, like, there are 30 people that he can think of who, if they didn't do their jobs behind the scenes, they wouldn't have been NFC champs. And he said some of you have written articles about that. And you had I loved it at the time. It was the old Shield staple.
I do not think that was what he was talking about.
He nodded to where you were sitting.
He just nodded some to one side of the room. He wasn't like
so. It was a coincidence that he nodded to you and saying some of you have written articles. About
I think
this.
So.
When you literally wrote an article asking people in the bill, asking players in the locker room,
I think that was
about
a coincidence,
who the
yes.
underappreciated people in the building are.
I guess, if I had to guess, I think the people he reads are you and EJ.
I think there's more than that, but that was one takeaway there. But to your point about the offense, yeah, now I think it's a little simplistic to say that like defense doesn't matter, but clearly this is an organization that values offense more. Now resources can be viewed different ways. Certainly, money is going to be tied up into the offense. You're already starting to see that move in the offense's direction. And I think you'll continue to see that to be the case, especially when Jalen signs a deal and Devontae signs a deal. I imagine they're going to try to sign Devontae to a deal, right?
Yes. Now that's the flip side is that you're going to need cost control guys on defense. And so they need to have guys on defense, but
the strategy,
that's more picks.
Yeah.
I think,
but like the strategy may well be like, let's draft defense and let's pay offense. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think that that's – I mean, that only lasts for, you know,
sure.
a couple
but
of cycles.
No, right? Now, I don't think, like, the first three picks are going to be running back, wide receiver, tight end. But,
no, but I think – I would be shocked if one of the first three picks, if they have three picks in the first two rounds, mm-hmm. is not on offense.
I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be surprised, yeah. I don't think it's just going to be three straight defensive guys. I think there will be an offensive lineman in there or a running back in there or mm-hmm. even – if there's a really skilled wide receiver in there, yeah.
Yeah. I think wide receiver would be the most surprising to me.
What's the game? No, in the first round, I think maybe the second.
I think because I think it would make sense from a team building standpoint. I think they are already like aware that there are some personality dynamics at mm-hmm. wide receiver where they, like if they're going to keep Devontae Smith and AJ yeah. Brown happy in terms of targets, adding a second round wide receiver on that, I think is a little bit.
Well. The tight end conversation, we can have that in April. So,
I mean, yeah. Dallas Goedert's the same age that Zach Ertz was when they drafted Dallas Goedert.
Exactly. And this is a really good tight end draft class.
Mm.
So,
okay. You asked Jeffrey about the NFLPA survey, which we have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind to the staff. And Jeffrey also talked about his willingness to, you know, overpay for staff mm-hmm. and assistant coaches. I think that they view that correctly as an advantage over the rest of the league, but not super kind in the survey results to some of the facilities, but he sort of threw a little bit of water on that.
Yeah. He said they're a data-driven organization and they would want to know the data behind the survey, right? How many players were surveyed, sample size, whatnot. And that, it, but it, so when I asked specifically what
the it's survey, a passive aggressive and a shot at the NFLPA.
When I asked
it's,
specifically like what about the survey results, he said that they wouldn't be opposed to doing anything, but they would need to talk to all the people in the building about what is needed and how they can do it. I'll say this, the NovaCare complex, because when I say facilities, they talk about the training room, they talked about the locker room. And part of it, I think, is limited by footprint.
For
like,
sure.
Like we were in Miami earlier this year. That's a new facility and it's beautiful, right? It's like it's
a nude facility.
New facility.
Everybody?
The NovaCare complex. The NovaCare complex was opened in I think 2001.
Good morning, Mr. Ross.
I think 2001. So it's over 20 years old right now. Maybe 2002, but nonetheless, it's over 20 years old right now. And if you just look at some of the buildings that have been built since then, you know, you have it. I mean, something 20 years old is not often state of the art anymore. And when I say limited by footprint, the Eagles are in a city now. South Philly is more there's more space in South Philly than in Center City, but you're still limited relative to if they were in, you know, Texas where the Cowboys are, right? Where the Star is in Frisco. So yeah, so I think there's
they're like neighborhood things. Yeah. Things have to be approved. Like,
but like we don't, you know, I don't need an NFLPA survey to say I can tell you anecdotally from talking to players. It is a tighter space than in some of those other facilities. But yeah, Jeffrey didn't really want to go into detail there, and that's fine.
Okay. But you did a good job asking him about it. I would say, what else was there to talk about?
From Jeffrey?
From Jeffrey.
We're focusing on Jeffrey here.
Yeah, then we'll go to break and talk to Nick after that.
Okay. So let me pull up. So you mentioned the assistant coaches. Some minority candidates, minority coordinators. Eagles have three minority coordinators here. He said he doesn't want to take credit for that. He said that they hired the best people for the job and that they are colorblind in their hiring. And these were the best candidates. Along with that, he really talked up Brian Johnson and he really talked up Nick Sirianni's hiring practices. He gave an anecdote about how Nick Sirianni called him one time after just interviewing like the 12th candidate for linebackers coach, and how these are thorough, exhaustive interviews. And Nick said today, I spoke to him at the Maxwell Awards, what he said that night, the amount of references that he seeks here, like 30, 40 people, he said sometimes that he reaches out to or has people reach out to find out on a given candidate. And he really complimented the fact that Sirianni doesn't just hire people he knows or people that he's worked with, that Brian Johnson was someone he had never worked with before. That
it was interesting that he talked about he specifically called out nepotism.
Yeah.
When I think he meant cronyism in the same vein of him also discussing Julian, but that's a slightly different story.
Yeah. So the nepotism was in regard to the coaching hiring.
Right.
Practices. Yeah. Not into the ownership.
But
the
it's team. A good shot yeah. at the Belichick coaching staff, I think.
And Kaylin Kaler.
A dig there.
Yeah. Kaylin Kaler from The Athletic did a well.
Oh, yeah.
It was before she was at The Athletic. But I'll nonetheless plug it. She did a piece on.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. On nepotism
rampant.
And hiring. Now sometimes Kyle Shanahan's a really good coach. Bill Belichick's a really good coach. I mean, Sean McVay's a really good coach.
I think Steve is really good. Belichick.
I don't know. So I'm saying like sometimes they are the best candidate for the job. But no, I give Nick. I think that is, we talked about this during the hiring process, how exhaustive Nick is. And I give, by the way, when the Eagles hired Nick Sirianni originally, like that was good that they were pretty exhaustive in that search as well. So that's something else that Jeffrey Lurie said tonight.
It certainly is.
I'm not reading the comments. Was it? Anything good in there? Okay.
I think that about covers it on the Jeffrey front.
Let me pull up here.
You excited about Kelly Green?
I'm excited for the fans who care about it. Yeah. So
Kelly Green sounds a little bit like someone whose number you had in seventh grade memorized.
I didn't have a Kelly Green in my class, but that's a good line. I really liked Kelly Kapowski growing up.
I'm sure you did.
Yes.
No surprise there.
So
on your Mount Rushmore, along with Topanga and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, I don't. Jennifer Love Hewitt's definitely on that.
The horn dog. He can't help himself.
Paul, come on, that's not nice.
You doubled down. That's not on me.
I'll say when I was growing up, yeah, that was the case there. So he talked about the lessons from the win now mode in 2018, 2012, from the 2018, 2020 period. And he spoke about how they debated it internally, whether to bring back some of their older players. And they kind of came to the conclusion, and he said this was more Nick and Howie than him, that these guys are still playing at a high level. And we spoke about this yesterday. And we've spoken about this throughout the offseason, like viewed independently, Jason Kelce and, Jason Kelce, he's perhaps the best center in the NFL. Like that's, I don't say a no-brainer to bring him back, but if he wants to play, you bring him back. Brandon Graham at $6 million, that's a good, that's for someone of his production, that's a good contract. Fletcher, we discussed that last night. We don't need to go into it. Bradbury. But his point was, you can't just have this hard and fast rule. You have to look at how the players are performing. But he said it's important to have a mix of older and younger players, draft choices, vets, upcoming players. He gave the example of the Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill and then having Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie in there, as you kind of always have to be in that, building mode.
Did he mention those guys specifically?
He did.
Oh, so there's your George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie hit your,
well, his,
what's it called? Jacquizz Rogers, yeah. he said, of the press conference.
He said, you need players you're developing. He said, I think the Chiefs are a good example. They had to let go of Tyreek Hill, but they were able to draft McDuffie and Karlaftis. They're going through a transition. You have to do that when you have a franchise quarterback on a rookie deal. The teams that develop their players draft well, use their resources in free agency selectively. There's a lot of off-the-field things. So
I think his point on the, like, these guys are still playing well, that doesn't really pass muster. I mean, it's true, but they wouldn't be interested if they weren't still playing well. I think it goes back to the same thing we've said, that individually they all make sense. What would you have done if you hadn't brought those guys back? It's not just, you have to think about what your options were that were available to you. So maybe they didn't have better options, but it is still a little bit uneasy that they're going into the season with so many old guys.
So my... And this goes back to my original point. The first thing I said on here, I think the Eagles are in a really good place right now as a franchise. But if there's anything, like, I think the true test for them is going to be replacing people at all levels, in the front office, in the coaching staff, on the roster, that you lose when you are successful. And that's going to be the most fascinating part of these next 2-3 years, because you can be as confident as you want in your process, but you have to hit on the coaching staff, you have to hit on the front office staff, you have to hit on the players, and it can't just be. It's pretty simplistic to say, like, if you have a great quarterback, that kind of covers everything else, but there are so many people in the building that they've lost, and challenging them and replacing them is a challenge, and I'm fascinated to see how these next few years go in that regard.
What a pro. A perfect tease for the next segment, in which we will discuss Nick Sirianni as he tries to rebuild his staff, coming back with more on Birds with Friends.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Back on Birds with Friends, and that ad read from Zach reminds me of a story that we neglected to tell from your surprise birthday party at Tacanelli's, in which Sheil... Credit to Sheil, because we will say his name because he did something worth mentioning for once. He introduced himself to your sister's boyfriend, and immediately, first thing he said was, "Oh, the Athletic Greens guy." So you got to give him respect for that.
Yeah. He's
that's what he's famous for.
He's a very nice guy that
he doesn't have a name. His name is Athletic Greens guy.
No, but he did put me on to Athletic Greens. So. I give him credit
the
for
guy,
that.
I mean, the guy, he was like, he was walking around the room at the party and the greens were just falling out of his pocket. He sprinkled some on his pizza.
That wouldn't, you got to mix it in the water.
Not for him. He's the Athletic Greens guy. He's how you doing, guy. Zach? You feel, how are you?
How am I?
Yeah. You were beating yourself up a little bit before the podcast. You doing all right?
Yeah, doing well. I'm doing well. I'm always trying to get
you should
better.
Be proud of yourself.
It's nice of you to say. Thank you.
You've got great dental insurance.
I work at a great company. That's why.
Okay. Yeah. Very long time ago, back.
We've been here a long. This has been a long day.
It started in this room. This is the same room. Very long time ago, we talked to Nick Sirianni. We talked to him about the important stuff: Cam Jurgens, Reed Blankenship, Trey Sermon.
We didn't talk to him about Trey Sermon. He talked to us about Trey Sermon.
He talked for about half an hour and answered, I believe, four questions.
Nick can talk, man.
He really can.
Nick can. And I'll say this: there are some coaches who filibuster, right? They do
Who's
it because
Buster?
They just, you know, they know there's a cutoff point, and if they can, like
Jim Schwartz is who you're referring to.
Or Belichick's done this. Like, if you can give a 7-minute answer on something, it's fewer questions you're going to get. I don't think Nick is filibustering. I think Nick just gets really excited. He was asked a question today about, like, the messaging to the team or, you know, the Super Bowl hangover, essentially. And he started it off with an anecdote about his brother's nephew in the state championship basketball game in New York, and how he sent this text to him. And how the text was saying it's about the journey, but the journey is much sweeter if you win.
I know that's right.
It was like a nice anecdote, but it's like this is how like every question is, you know. So, Nick's. I appreciate that sometimes about Nick, but
he's enthusiastic.
Yeah, we do get fewer questions per. You know, our hit rate on questions is not. You know, when we sat at this table, actually this table with Chip Kelly a while ago.
His annual dental exam.
You're using the line tonight, not me. I mean, it was like staccato. Is that the correct word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, there were probably like 90 questions. I mean, because his answers are bang, 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 bang. Right. This. It's I have an app on my phone, Otter, for those who are not in the business. It's like a live transcription app, and you never want the like answer to be that long, right? And that's how they are. But no, Nick, let's get back on track here.
I'd like to just earmark bang 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 as a drop for future reference, but
okay. So let's get back on track here. I don't want to say the big thing was some of these. Well, let's talk about Jalen. Okay, I thought it was interesting that he talked about the fact that Jalen's in every day. Still, you know, he's at the facility working out. The Eagles want to sign Jalen to this contract, like we've said. They're not going to change the way they use Jalen, as you wrote about today on The Athletic. You want to share?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I would agree. I didn't say that they won't change the way they use Jalen. I said they want defenses to still respect that aspect of Jalen's game. Because I don't think that they're going to, you know, Nick Sirianni said, we're not going to take away his superpowers. And his rushing ability is a big part of that. And that is true. But I also think when you're making a, you know, multi-$100 investment in a player who has not made it healthy through two seasons.
It's a lot of hundreds. Multi-hundred million? Is that what you meant to say? You said a multi-hundred. I mean, that's like
they're going to sign to like a $200 million deal or something like that, right? Yeah. Multi-hundred. Isn't that multi-hundred million?
Yeah, but you didn't say the million part. You just said multi-hundred.
Oh, okay. So that's they'll probably sign him to a little bit more than that.
I mean, it technically is true. There's a lot of hundreds.
That's true. Yeah, it is technically true. Million.
Yeah.
I think it would be irresponsible to expect him to run quite as much and take quite as many hits. I think they're going to make a concerted effort to pull off just a little bit.
You think so?
Now, Jalen is very good at avoiding hits, right? But he's still gotten hurt each of the past two seasons. I think they have to be conscious of it to some degree, but what he's saying about not taking away his superpower is true. It's going to still be a part of the offense. It's still what makes him part of what makes him as good as he is, and they need defenses to respect it. But I do think that they need to pull the reins off to some degree.
I mean, that's a conversation we can have at a different date. I don't.
You're the one who asked me what I wrote.
I don't go as deep into it there. I don't buy it as much as you do there.
Bad news, guys. Bedtime is approaching for Zach. His His phone is letting him know.
Well, that's back. That's actually the time back home that it's referring to.
Soon enough, sweet prince. Soon enough.
I shouldn't have my phone up here. You see all my alerts. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
There's only a few texts from Jeffrey. It's no big deal.
Maybe Jeffrey McClain.
Jeffrey Tambor.
God, I want to do well on this podcast. I don't
You're
have
doing
the,
great.
I don't have the mental acuity that I would typically like to have here. This is we're both on like 3 hours of sleep. Bo looked sharp last night. Early morning, long day, but good day. So with Nick, no, I think that they're gonna run him. He's you don't pay a guy $250 million and then say, like, stop doing what got you to $250
million. No, but you don't pay a guy $250 million and say, go run into that brick wall, dude.
Sure. Yeah, you'd be smart, but you still use him that way. While we're on the topic, he did say Marcus Mariota. Part of the appeal there was that they can run the same offense that he gave the example of the Giants game this year. If Jalen didn't play and Marcus is your backup quarterback, you can use Mariota as a running threat. It's not the only thing. Now, Mariota did fit a trend in the players they acquired that Nick really wanted to coach this guy. Nick put him through a private workout when Nick and Frank Reich, when he was coming out of Oregon. Rashad Penny, Nick said, Rashad Penny played at San Diego State when Nick was coaching the Chargers. He followed his career. He always wanted to coach that guy. So those are two guys there that Nick really wanted to coach.
Sure. And boy, is he excited about Trey Sermon.
Yeah, but boy, the thing I didn't understand, he said there were cuts and run and plays that he made in practice last year where they're like
countless.
Man, this guy is right. this guy's got it. This guy's a chance to be really good. He's like, I wish we could have played him more. Well,
guess what? That was within your exactly, purview. Yeah. Like, and he said, and he mentioned the Jacksonville game, in which that was the only time he got a chance to show his stuff. Yeah. Two carries for 19 yards in that game. And back in week 4, if he was so good, they could have, they had a lot of time to play him.
Well, that is a really good average.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, if you can get a guy, what was it, 2 for 19?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get a guy doing 9.5 yards per carry, that's pretty good.
Well, apparently not good enough. Go ahead. What do you got? I just think it's important to delineate between what he says and what is true. Just because he says it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you ask a question about Reed Blankenship.
I actually want to get into this. Okay. So let's work this out for our audience here.
Okay.
So I'll leave this up to the chat here. I asked a question. Something along the lines of, what do you make of the safety depth chart right now? And, is Reed Blankenship, do you think Reed Blankenship's able to step up into a starting role, something of that nature? Or is he ready to step into a starting role, full-time starter role? Now, did I beg the question by bringing up Blankenship there? Or do you, he was very optimistic about Blankenship, said that this guy started last year on a team that went 16-4. There's no reason to think that he can't continue doing that. The Eagles very clearly have a starting spot open for Reed Blankenship here, barring changes that they could make. And like you said on the podcast yesterday, one could argue he should be starting over Terrell Edmonds, even if they bring in somebody else. So do you think that optimism was legitimate, or do you think that was more, I asked him about Blankenship, so therefore he's giving the generic Blankenship answer?
Yes, I think the latter.
Okay.
And I think that doesn't mean it's not true, but I think this is semantics, and it's also like accurate journalism, but you can't just like, you couldn't put it on Twitter and say, Nick Sirianni is confident that Reed Blankenship can start. No, Nick Sirianni said that he is confident. Like there is a functional difference that is important there. Mm-hmm. Just because he says it does not mean that it's true. It's what is true is that he said that.
So in your example, the said is carrying the weight in the sentence and not the confidence.
Yes.
Okay.
Because otherwise, a year ago, we would have said the Eagles expect their improvement on offense to be more targets for Quez Watkins and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. They don't need a wide receiver. No, that's what they said. That's okay. Like the news is that they said that, not that that is true.
Okay.
Right.
Look, that's a good point that you made there.
And so just because he says that Cam Jurgens is not the leader in the clubhouse doesn't mean that that is true. We are like, we all have eyes. We all understand things. They like Cam Jurgens a lot. They didn't draft him in the second round last year for him to sit on the bench again. Who knows? It does them no favors to say right now Cam Jurgens is our starting right guard, because what if he gets hurt? What if Jason Kelce gets hurt and he's got to be a center? What if they draft a guy in the first two rounds who can compete at guard? But barring anything crazy, yeah, he's going to be the right guard.
So why do you think then, not to play devil's advocate, but just stimulating conversation here, why do you think he was more effusive about Reid Blankenship's candidacy to start than Cam Jurgens' candidacy to start?
Because Reid Blankenship needs to be boosted up.
Okay.
And Cam Jurgens doesn't. I think it's all about like the balance. Like,
interesting.
So
this was messaging to the players today.
I think it's just his, like his MO. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk down Cam Jurgens. He's talking up Cam Jurgens. He's just it. There's no reason for him to go out and say this guy's going to be our starter.
Well, he could say this is Cam Jurgens' job to lose. Like, we drafted this guy to play. I mean, Howie said at the combine, we drafted these guys to play. And he could very much say, yeah, you know, every job has competition, but you know, this is Cam's job to lose. Or Cam's gonna be the first one up. He could have said that. I mean, Reid Blankenship today, he didn't say, well, there's a lot of safeties there. And Reid has
there literally aren't. But
no, he has to say. I mean, he could have said, you know, we have Justin Evans, we have Kayvon Wallace, and Reid has to earn that. He said Reid started last year. Now Cam didn't start last year, so that's one difference. He said there's no reason to think he can't do that again. So I buy the here, let me ask you this. Let's do the exercise that we did in the Howie Roseman thing, what he said and what he meant. In the meeting rooms in NovaCare, when they're talking about their defense this year, are they talking about it with Reid Blankenship as a starting safety? Or are they like, we need to find someone to upgrade over this guy? Because last year was very clearly, like even during training camp, it was very clearly like, we need to find someone to upgrade over the Anthony Harris role.
I think they view that as we could play tomorrow if we needed to. It would be ugly, but we think we have a starting safety between the two of them in Edmonds and Blankenship, and we would like to improve. I think they could still sign another guy.
I think so too, but I think that they view Reid Blankenship internally, and I could be wrong here, the way they viewed Marcus Epps internally last year, which was like, this guy's gonna have a chance to start for us, and he's gonna have to play poorly for him not to be the starter.
I don't disagree with that. Well, I mean, like I said yesterday, I think they might view Reid Blankenship as better than Edmonds. That's possible.
And by the way, I don't discount them doing what they did with Avante last year, where Avante plays on base downs at safety. Right. And then
I agree with that.
Yeah, because it would behoove you to make Avante a three-down player.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't want to do that every week. There's probably some limitations to that. You probably want to have guys who can settle in, but I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it would not be ideal to have Reid Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds as your two safeties, but you gotta cut somewhere.
It wasn't ideal last year to have Marcus Epps and Anthony Harris as your two safeties, and we saw what happened in August.
Remember when they just forgot about Anthony Harris and that answer that Nick gave in Cleveland?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anything else you said that was interesting to you?
Well, the running back situation here. He's very I mean, Nick's not the kind of guy who.
He's not very confident.
He said he's
very confident.
He says he's confident in the room. Yes. As it stands now, he said. Like at safety, he said there's a lot of time between, you know, he said as it stands now. You mentioned Trey Sermon. The Boston Scott thing was interesting.
He gave Boston Scott more guaranteed money than they gave Rashad Penny.
Yeah. But he was like, And we're lucky he's back, as Shane Steichen really liked
him. Almost he made it sound as if the, that was the only reason they signed him, was just so Nick could like needle Shane.
Which I wouldn't put it past Nick.
Yeah, that's possible. Oh,
you can't take my assistants, and you can't take my third string running back. Okay, you're allowed. He really went on.
He's like, everybody loves Boston.
And then he spoke about how Gainwell came on in the playoffs last year. I'll say this about the backfield. Any plan that includes if Rashad Penny stays healthy, to me, is not a strong plan because Rashad Penny hasn't proven
he can stay healthy. That's a bonus. Whatever you get from him is a bonus.
So you need to, and I said this back when they signed Penny, I buy their optimism in Penny if he's healthy behind this line. But in 5 years, he hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. So you need to operate under the strong presumption that there are going to be weeks when it's Gainwell, Boston Scott, and if it's Trey Sermon, I still think it could be a running back they draft in round two or round three.
I agree.
Or maybe number 30 overall. Who knows?
Maybe.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Let's see what else from Nick.
Well, he talked about the staff. He talked about, Sean Desai, and he's a very detail-oriented guy, and they're going through the camaraderie-building process now that there are so many new guys on the staff. He invited them over to watch the March Madness at the house. I hope he had food for them this time as opposed to last time he had guys over to the house. This is all part of the process. It's like you said before, this is the test of sustaining success. Can you replace people at every level of the building?
100%. And I found it interesting in their hiring that they hired a linebackers coach and a coach who will work in the secondary from the college level. And you pointed out when we discussed it, you made a real good point. Part of it's the function of timing. These moves were made after the Super Bowl. You have a limited pool of pro coaches to...
Right. You literally can't sign an employed position coach to become your position coach. So
it's someone who's out.
You either got to hire someone who's unemployed or someone from
quality
college.
Control. Yeah. Or a quality control guy or like,
I think they might be able to be blocked.
Joe Casper left the Eagles to go be the safeties coach in Miami.
Okay.
Maybe the contract was expiring.
Yeah.
I don't know, but And so he talked about we discussed the thoroughness of the interviews, but he talked about what he looks for in a position coach. He's four criteria. And
No. There are four criteria for ways to get a player better.
That's right.
But the position coach can really only affect one of those things.
Yes. And that's fundamentals.
Right.
Yes.
And that is so teaching fundamentals.
Yes. And I mean, it would stand to reason that a college coach must teach fundamentals because they're less advanced than their football.
That's why everybody in the draft is talking about Andre Josivash's fundamentals.
Well, he is a terrific position coach.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So let's just scan my head here. It does seem like it was so long ago. It does seem it was like right there. 12 hours ago in 2 minutes, 7:45.
Nick was
a few minutes late. Yeah. He's not on Coughlin time.
I mean, be on time when time is involved.
That's what Doug Peterson used to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've lost our audience. We've now both Jory and Dave have left. And so that tells you how successful this episode has been.
I think any episode with you hosting is successful.
That can't be true. we're missing our dinner. We've gone too long. Too much to talk about.
No, we can still make it.
Leadfoot Zach over here.
It's 3.4 miles away. I mean,
he's going to be carrying me on his back. like it's like he's leaving Marissa's wedding, just jetting out of here.
How's Marissa doing, by the way? I can't hear her in my ear.
Well, she's not talking because she's not on screen.
Okay,
but she's doing well. She's in her pajamas.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, let's get her to bed pretty soon.
Yeah, a good call. We should say this. The Eagles. Okay. That's not that funny, actually. That's like a bad dad joke there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Eagles submitted a rule proposal rule or bylaw.
We better get this proposal.
That number zero is eligible, and kickers are now able to wear numbers outside of the 1-19 range. And there's a lot of stated reasons at the end of that the Eagles said in the proposal, like there's like legalese almost for why this happened. But as Bo said, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here.
Don't take my joke.
Okay, you deliver the joke.
No, I just think it's not a joke. This is honest stuff. The proposal that they had that got voted down, I don't know if you saw this, is they petitioned the league for no one to be allowed to wear 87 across the NFL. So it's they wanted it to be sort of a swap. Zero is in, 87 is out.
Yeah.
Let's give the nod that it deserves. Unfortunately, that one was voted down, and so it's just the zero that made it through.
Yeah, so the joke there being the Eagles haven't given out 87 since Brett Sewick played Malcolm Jenkins' number. They didn't even wash the jersey before someone else had it, right? But Brett Sewick, as Bo famously said, that's a bridge too far. The zero, besides it being
Running out of numbers.
Besides it being a cool visual, Darnell Washington wore it at Georgia. It is it gives them more options now. And now they don't have the kickers monopolizing these single digit numbers, because you can have a punter, you know, in a high number now, and like an undesirable number that people don't want. So that got passed.
I'm gonna give your boy a shout out here.
John Mara.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? For the first time, he did something actually classy, Zach. He spoke out against the inanity of flexing games to Thursday night, which is so craven and so ridiculous. I'm glad that he did that.
And his stated reason was he said, you need to think about the fans who go to the games.
Like, what are we doing? He said.
So much attention is to the viewing public. And he said, we need to pay consideration to the fans who go to the games, who plan weeks and months in advance, and they're going to bring their kid to the 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Now all of a sudden it's 8 o'clock Thursday game.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know if this qualifies as a get off my lawn. But if you're complaining about the quality of the teams on Thursday night, I think it might be a little too spoiled. It's two NFL teams playing on a Thursday night, right?
Or just like make the, you know, put better games on there. Like,
yeah.
Did you really? I mean, they got. I guess they got a little bit unlucky last year with some of those. Like the Broncos turned out to be so bad, but like, just put better teams on there. And so what? Like, what's really the difference in ratings between
that's
the Broncos and Colts and the, you know, flexing in the, you know, the Jaguars into there or whatever? Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there.
It's just that they're getting pushback from Amazon. I mean, that's what it is, right? So
and I mean,
yeah, maybe employ an announcer who enjoys the games.
Herbstreit does.
Well, that's debatable.
I always enjoy now Michael's call.
Still. Okay.
Some good gambling references in there.
Well, and that's the most important thing. That's what makes a call good, right?
Means they're in on the joke, right?
I guess.
Some of the other rule stuff we don't have to get.
What's the most salacious thing you've seen this here at the owners' meetings? What's the most off the record thing that you can let us know about?
By definition, something off the record, I can't let you know because it's off the record.
Mm.
Yes. What about you?
Good question. I don't know. I don't have a good. I guess it's not a joke that I can think of. your dental exam. I don't know.
Okay. How about how was your first Biltmore experience? Arizona Biltmore.
Fine. I preferred last year's.
You're more of a Breakers guy.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to get there.
You're a Palm Beacher.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't have to fly 4.5 hours just to, you know, hang around the opulence and be told that Trey Sermon has what it takes.
Okay. I mean,
it's my own personal opinion.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Let's finish this. This is dragging on. Go ahead.
Yeah. No.
What were you going to say?
I said that flight out here did seem longer. It seemed longer than the Super Bowl.
I agree with that.
I didn't know why that was.
Neither do I.
I actually thought that.
Wake up, like, oh my God, I've been on this flight for days. I've still got 2 hours left. What is going on?
Yeah, I was doing work on the flight, and so
me too.
On the Wi-Fi, they give you the timer, and I'm like, wait, yeah, I had that same reaction. I'm like, man, we're spoiled by the Indianapolis flight, right? That was my most recent flight.
All right. This is.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
We'll be better next time.
I don't promise that. Who knows? We could be worse. But all we know is that Jeffrey will be listening.
And reading your stuff.
And texting you. Okay. That'll do it for your on-the-scene coverage from the NFL's annual meetings. For Zach Berman and Marissa and Trey, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. We will talk to you, probably next week instead of later this week, unless news merits. Start turning the page to the draft. Get some takes. Long way to go. But all that matters is that the Eagles have confidence in Reed Blankenship.
Reed Blankenship wearing Kelly Green. What do you think of that?
Reed Blankenship, Kelly Green, number zero. And every time he starts, they announce him as discovered by Beowulf, the former camp crush from Middle Tennessee, Reed Blankenship.
Middle Tennessee State.
No, he prefers. This is like a Darius Slay thing.
Oh, okay.
He prefers the Middle Tennessee. He doesn't like the state.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, now you know. All right. That'll do it for Birds with Friends. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to Marissa for getting it done behind the scenes. And as always, we love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.